just a chapter if I can go without commenting on it. Yeah, we'll do that in a minute. We'll do that in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4. Just trying to be consistent about reading at least a chapter, and if we can. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, and excess of wine, reviling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch on the prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. It says, every man that hath received a gift, even to minister, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit and the glory, Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. For on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of us suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Amen. Need to underline that. Judge ourselves. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. Amen. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin with us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Amen. All right, let's have this is from Adam Zander. Don't forget, Friday night, 5 Bibles tonight, look over with me. Is there any other announcements I need to make? Anything else? Any other announcements? Yeah. Somebody? Yeah, go ahead. Thank God, because I was afraid to use the building. And really, I was afraid to go in there and turn everything on and then have this problem. Eric asked me about having another gym night. And all I said, I don't know, man. I said, I don't know. And I've even got to the point where I was going to tell Miss Laura not to even go over there, just go over somewhere over the other buildings. But thank God that was taken care of. You talking about a burden. That was a burden lifted up. And as long as they do what they say they're going to do, it'd be a real blessing. So that's what he says he's going to do. He's the guy that has the authority to do it. All right, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And Jesse said, you'll probably finish that tonight. I said, I doubt it. I doubt it. You know, if you're in the book of Revelation, and I wanted to go over this for anybody new, Revelation 19, all the way through the Revelation chapter 4, we're up in heaven. At Revelation 4, we go to heaven. At Revelation 1 and 2 and 3, that's on this, we're in chapter 3 right now of Revelation. And the next big event that's going to take place is going to be the rapture. And you say, what's that? That rapture is when Jesus comes and takes his children out of here. And then Revelation is what's going to happen once we're gone. And now we're premillennial. And what we believe is that the Lord's going to come back before the millennium. So amillennials, they don't believe in the millennium. So most churches today, they're amillennials. They don't even believe that Jesus Christ, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign. That's what we have right here. They don't believe there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches it. And we just, in Revelation 20, it teaches you that Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. And that's right here, a 1,000-year reign. And that's in the Bible. And most churches don't believe that. The Catholic Church don't believe that. And a lot of churches are postmillennialists. So what is that? They believe, postmillennialists, they believe that we got to clean up the world. Everything got to get cleaned up by us before Jesus comes. But I'm telling you what, we're doing a pretty sad job if that's the case. If we're waiting on getting the world straightened out and cleaned up before he comes back, brother, I'll tell you what, we'd be waiting billions of years. And that ain't going to happen no time soon. Yeah, that's the one world order. The one world order is that we all need to get together. And like in Genesis chapter 10, they all came together and built a tower. They said, we're going to go up to heaven. So, and then I saw the other night, and I was reading Revelation 21. You read Revelation 21, you look at what it says. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I said, underline, no more sea. God's going to do away with the sea. But why does God have to do a new heaven? Why is he that mess with heaven? So happens the other night I was looking at a news clip, and they were showing that there might be this satellite or this space station that the Chinese sent up years ago. It's dead in the water. There's no communication with it. They can't guide it. They can't do anything. The thing's going to fall out of the sky, and it's going to come down through the atmosphere. It's going to burn up. And they said it's probably good. It could hit. The last one came down. It went into the ocean and landed on a deserted island in Australia. But if that thing's like, if it comes down, it can be like an atomic bomb. It can hit and be like an atomic bomb. And then they said, well, and the guy asked the question, how many things do we have floating in space? A man-made. What would you guess? 100,000 pieces of equipment. That's over your head. 100,000 pieces just floating around out there. And what happens is once it goes dead in the water, it can fall back to the earth. The gravity pulls it out of the space. Yeah. You can see all that junk? 100,000 pieces. Can you imagine that, man? So why is the Lord going to clean up the heavens too? Because man gets on the moon, man steps on the moon. God's got to go up there and clean that up too. Yeah. There's probably trash up there, you know. Yep. They probably had, you know, McDonald's wrappers they threw out. But, you know, all that junk, man says, one great step for mankind and all that stuff. And God's got to clean it all up. Anything man touches, God's got to clean it up. I mean, who would ever think, you got to be demented to think that you can straighten out things in this world. So what's the matter with trying? Nothing wrong with trying. Nothing wrong with trying. I mean, I thank God, you know, got men that's trying to clean up the world, trying to do better things. But if you think that's going to bring Jesus back because when you get it better, that's not going to happen. He's going to come back whether you want him to come back or not. And he's coming back, and he's going to straighten it all out. And you know what? That should be our prayer, even so come Lord Jesus. Why? Because the only way real justice is going to take place. Right. Only way real righteousness is going to take place. I walked out of the country store today, and I looked over at the paper. Last year, they found the body of a lady, a girl, in the woods there after Firefly. She was 40 years old. They don't know how she died. You know, the Lord knows. All this injustice, all this stuff that's going on, God's going to straighten it all out. He'll straighten it all out. And that's why you ought to be a prayer, you know, ought to be our prayer, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer of the Bible. Even so, look at the last prayer of the Bible. Look in 22. Look what it says. It says, he that testify these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Then he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I mean, folks, no, I mean, you say, well, I like to be around to see my kids grow up. I used to say that at one point when I first got saved. But I've seen my kids grow up. Now my grandkids are getting ready to grow up. And man, it's getting wickeder and wickeder all the time. And you got all this stuff going on. So the answer would be for Jesus to come back, whether the kids are small or they'll be fine. God's going to take care of it. And you talk about living in perfect peace, brother. You'll have perfect peace. And what we're reading about here in Revelation 21 is a city coming down. It's clean. It's a city called New Jerusalem. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in a city that's not going to be no trash on the corner. And people are not going to stand on the corner and say, hey, man, how about let me borrow a dollar? Let me hold a dollar, man. Let me hold a dollar. Ain't going to be none of that stuff. Ain't nobody, be nobody, you know, none of that stuff. If nobody's going to hurt, you ain't got to worry about locking your doors. You ain't got to worry about nobody molesting your children. You ain't got to worry about none of that stuff. All that's going to be clean, and it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's the light of the city. And what a blessing that is. And anybody, I don't understand why a Christian wouldn't want the Lord to come back. I know why the world don't want him to come back. Number one, it proved that they've been wrong.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And number two, they're going to have to face him. The Bible tells you they're going to run for the hills. They're going to say to the rocks and the hills to fall on us. Yeah. To hide us from him. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when he comes back, it ain't no fooling around.
Amen.
And I'm glad I'm on his side, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm on his side. And the world, they make fun of you. They'll mock you. They'll make fun of all that stuff and mock the Bible and say, God, you know, Jesus Christ had an affair with Mary. He had children and illegitimate children. They'll say all kinds of stuff just to kind of try to bring Jesus Christ down, bring God down to our level to make him perverted. And, you know, here Hollywood, everybody glorified Hollywood. Now you're seeing all the perverts coming out of the woodwork. They're all the perverts, all the men messing with the women and all the congressmen, the senators. I mean, messing with women, women doing things that just trying to get a better job and keeping their mouth shut. All that stuff ain't going to go on no more, man.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about your daughter going to work for some man and trying to molest her. And she's 18 years old or 17 years old. They're trying to mess with her. And thank God, man. Thank God none of that junk is going to happen anymore when the Lord comes back. And he's going to be on the throne. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lord's got a wife. And we talked about that last week. The Lord treats his wife right. And he treats his wife right. And we're his bride. And I've told you before, I used to have it. When I first got saved, everybody said, we're the bride of Christ. I used to say, I ain't. I didn't like that. I'm a male, masculine. I didn't want to hear about being feminine. Or, you know, it's not that kind of thing. It's not the physical type stuff, you know.
Amen.
You know, and that's what bothered me when I first got saved. But we're the bride of Christ. We're going to be united with him. And look at this. And it says, and he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain. And you remember, here's an angel carrying John up there to a great and high mountain. The devil carried Jesus Christ. And Brother Eddie brought up the point the other night about the question that Justin asked about, or Doc said this. He said, if Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we are, how come he was never married? But that's what I was trying to get around to, but it didn't cross my mind. But Eddie came up to me later and said, he covered that. And he said, you know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life in Matthew chapter 4. And I went to Matthew, talked about Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, Jesus Christ was tempted in all points when the devil took him up in the high mountain. And he fasted for 40 days. And then he tempted him. And Jesus Christ kept giving him scripture back. So whenever the devil, that's a lesson that you can learn. Whenever the devil starts messing with you, get into scripture.
Yes.
Get into scripture. Give the devil scripture back. And so that's the answer to the thing. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points. But here, he was taking up the great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Notice it says holy. Descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God and her light was like of a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And I mean, folks, I've never seen a place that pure. I've never seen a place that clean. And it says, and had a wall great and high. Donald Trump wall.
Amen. That's a good start.
Yeah. Had a wall. You know, over in the Bible, they built walls. And we talked about that Sunday. They were building walls. And they built walls around cities. Why? Protection. The Great Wall of China. I've read where that thing was 3 or 5,000 miles long. And it's like... 25 feet thick. That's wild.
Amen.
That's amazing. I mean, you talking about building a wall that long, that high, and that there, I guarantee a lot of people buried in that wall. It had a great wall high. It had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels and names written thereon. You know, and it says, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. If you go back in the Bible, you'll find the priest had 12 stones on their breastplate. And the Urim, he had a breastplate, had the different jasper stone and all the different stones that are mentioned here, had them on the plate. And whenever God, it was representing each tribe. It represented tribes. So when God started talking, that thing could light up. Anything lit up. And wow, that's going to be something I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has in the heart of man that got things God has prepared for them that love him. We can't even comprehend what we're going to see one day. We can't even comprehend it. I mean, you look at this earth and all the things here and how beautiful it is, and places that are upon this planet, how beautiful it is. And God made that. And man, in the fallen state, what we're in right now, with the animals killing each other, eating each other, and all that stuff, and disease and famine and all that stuff, and the fallen state is still beautiful. Well, can you imagine what this is going to be like? I can't even, our mortal minds can't comprehend what it's like. What a thing. And the Bible says, had a great wall high and 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, and which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east gates, on the north gate, east three gate, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lied four square, and the length of it as large as the breadth, and it measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. That's 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles wide. What a city. You say, how many people you can think? And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and my Father's house are many mansions. If Jesus Christ has got their mansions in that city, 1,200 miles. I mean, 1,500 miles deep, high, and the city's in layers. And we were taught when I was in Bible school, it's not a box. We were taught that it's like a diamond coming down like that. It's like a diamond. And it's square. But it's because the Bible says this in Romans 8. Let me go to Romans 8. That's not it. I'm looking for where it talks about the depth, height. Had it written in. We'll have to come back to it. Well, huh? Last part. Now that's talking about his law. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate. That's not it. It is Ephesians. There it is. Ephesians 3, there it is. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. So that's a pyramid. That's a pyramid. Breadth, length, depth, and height, where a box has only three, and this has four. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that he might fill with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's the height, depth, length, and width, breadth. And so there's four sides. And the only thing that has four sides is a diamond. Four sides. four dimensions, I better say, four dimensions. All right, let's go back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. So that thing coming down out of heaven is called New Jerusalem. It's a bride, and all brides like diamonds. And then here we are in a city as a diamond. And it says, and the city lieth four square, verse 16, the length as large as the breadth. And it measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length of the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like on the clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manners of precious stones. All the way around the foundation, the 12 had stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, somebody give me that word, chalcedony. Chalcedony. And it says the fourth, an emerald. And it says the fifth, sardonyx. And the sixth, sardis. I didn't say that one right, the fifth. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, barley. Ninth, topaz. The tenth, crystal path. Crystal, what? If I say it fast, what? Well, yeah, whatever he said, that's right. And the 12th, amaranth. And yeah, that's good. Amen. So they're all expensive. I know that. They all cost a lot. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the city of the if this is the bride of Christ or the city of the bride of Christ, the Lord really decks it out. He decks this place out. It's beautiful, you know. And women, they like the pearls, they like the diamonds, they like all that stuff. Guys care less about that stuff.
Amen.
But women like that stuff. We was at the mall when everybody was singing at the mall. There was a guy come out of the jewelry store, and he opened up and showing his wife something. I don't know what the name of the jewelry store was, but I got him laughing. I said, "Oh, he went to Jared," and they all busted up laughing. But then they took a track for after that. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. And it says, as it were transparent glass. Well, I've never seen gold that pure. I don't think anybody's ever seen it. As a matter of fact, we probably haven't even seen any gold. Yeah, gold plated, something over top. But can you imagine? The streets of the city was pure gold. You say, oh, this is just a dream. That's just somebody made up. No, that's if God made it up, for sure. But it's not a dream. It's real. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, notice that, the nations of them, the Gentile nations that are saved. He say the nations, he sits down and divides the nations of Matthew 25. It says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, how many nations? I think there's close to 200 nations in the United Nations. I wonder how many nations that would be here. I wonder. Now, this is going to be after the millennium, and then there's going to be, we as his part of his body and part of his flesh, we're going to go out, rule and reign with him in the millennium, and we're going to bring nations to Jerusalem. We're going to be either the transportation or whatever. It's going to be no more sea, but somehow we're going to bring people to Jerusalem or represent the nation or represent a city. So there's going to be nations. They're not going to be the United Nations as we know it now, but there's going to be nations. And the Bible says, and the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie. And they that are written in the Lamb's, which but they that were are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's us. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says the glory and the honor of the nations into it. It's a type of Solomon sitting on the throne, and nations coming, bringing him all the, if you read about Solomon, all the Queen of Sheba came, and all the other nations came and brought Solomon all this, all the jewels and gold and things that they, from around the world, and the things that he, that just as presents they brought to him. And the Bible says that we're going to be sitting there watching that, seeing all that. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So we could go into a lot of what the Bible says in the Old Testament. Go back to Isaiah 9. Just go back to Isaiah 9. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 9. It's hard to comprehend when you're reading this. You think, man, oh, man, is this really going to happen? You see the snow coming down. It's pure. It looks good. It's so clean. But then after a few hours, you got all the cars going by and things happening. It turns to mush and black and dirty. And, man, you're talking about a clean city and a beautiful place. Now, the Bible says in verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You got a couple thousand years between verse 6 and the colon, and then it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then look what verse 7 says. And the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So between, and verse 6 talks about Jesus Christ being born in a manger, and then all of a sudden goes right into the next, all the rest of the verses talk about him sitting on the throne, judging the world, and being the government being on his shoulder. So that's the point that Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost is looking forward to. So when we're reading over here in Revelation, you're reading about when God gets his rightful place and his son gets his rightful place and everything gets set in order. When Adam and Eve, God put them on this planet, he put them on this planet to fellowship with them, to be with them, to care for them, to fellowship with them. And he provided for them a clean place. No sin, no sorrow. And then when the devil got loose and the devil came in and started talking to him, and then all of a sudden sin comes into the world. And for 6,000 years of mankind, it's just been nothing but fighting, war, killing, and heartache, famine, and all that stuff. And then when God promises his children, he's preparing them a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house in many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. So he said, I'll come back and get you. And he's going to come back and get us, but then there's going to be 7 years called Time of Jacob's Trouble, and that's from Revelation 18 on back to Revelation 4. So, and the Lord says, I got a place prepared for you, and you ain't going to believe it. It's going to knock your eyes out. And look what verse 27 says in chapter 21 again. It says, there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, what a thing. That's something you say, you know what? Heaven by itself would be good enough. Amen. Heaven by itself. He said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And I'm talking about third heaven. But then he says, here's something else. I'm going to add to it. And then he gives you, on top of that, he says there's five crowns that a Christian can win at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you benefit. You're benefiting. And it's all been by him for you. And then when people say, well, I can't serve God, it's too hard. And it's just, life is so hard. I don't know if I can keep the faith. I don't know. You think, my Lord, man, haven't you read your Bible? Amen. Haven't you seen what the Bible, God promised to his children? Haven't you seen all that? Why would you even consider thinking, well, it's just too hard, preacher. I just don't know if I can go on. Come on, man. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. The Bible tells you to get strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and power of his might. April came to me the other night. She said, preacher, what do you think about the theme of the youth rally being be strong? I said, that'd be good. Be strong. She said, but can you get some verses stuff together? Any ideas? Be strong. What happens is we got this Christianity today that's not strong. They're weak. They don't get in their Bible. They're watching too much TV. They watch too much video games. They got all that stuff. They're weak when it comes to the Word of God. They're not strong. So we live in the Laodicean period, and that's why I said we're right now in the Laodicean period. That's Revelation chapter 3. And it says, we're rich. We have need of nothing. And then the Lord says, you're blind. You're naked. I mean, look at Revelation 3. Look, we'll close with this. Revelation 3. We got to hurry. It's time's going by. The Lord says to them, they said, man, we don't have need of nothing. We're all right. We're living right now in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. You better off staying hot. Don't get cold, stay hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They make God sick. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I increase with goods, have need of nothing. Knoweth not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me what? Gold. Gold is faith. Tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And most people can't see. They can't see things. And they can't see themselves. You know, the biggest thing of this age is all about me. That's what the biggest thing. I take care of me. It's just about me. It ain't when Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he talked about others. Others. And I tell people all the time in this church, shake hands with somebody. You see people just go right out the door. Then you say, well, they're kind of shy. No, man, you're supposed to be thinking about other people. What they're going through. Man, other people going through all kinds of trouble. Maybe you shaking their hand, saying hi to them, encourages them. Amen. Shoo. We got this day and age is all about me. I didn't even get to this. I wanted to read this to you, but we can get to that. All right. Brother Ken, come on ahead and take a prayer request with us.